You're listening to a special showcase episode of the Round Table Podcast. 20 minutes with Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield. Hello, literary alchemists. I'm Dave Robison.
And I'm Brian Humphrey.
And you're listening to a special showcase episode of the Round Table Podcast, 20 Minutes With.
20 Minutes With is a segment in which Dave and I have the great honor to share the microphone with some fabulously talented people, and today we have two of them.
Yes, indeed. This is our first duo of guest hosts on the Roundtable Podcast. It's a red letter day. and fine gentlemen they are, too. If you are at all in touch with the podcast community, and even if you aren't, you have doubtless heard of the Dune Steve podcast, just cresting episode 127 just recently, with more to come, more awesome audio fiction, and not just narrated fiction, but produced stories with casts, even a few full-on audio dramas thrown into the mix. They've been doing it for years, and they do it so incredibly well, and we're so grateful to have them on the show.
Absolutely.
Folks, welcome Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield of the Dune Steve to the Skype line. Guys, thanks for taking the time and being on the podcast with us.
He couldn't come.
They have pills for that, don't they?
Oh.
Ooh, that wasn't where I was going, but
I'm earning that explicit tag on iTunes.
That was just a line from a Monty Python skit where the guy built up the person that was about to appear so much, and then they just say, "Oh, he couldn't come.
He couldn't."
He's like, "Oh, all right, don't worry. He sucked anyways."
Montague is dead.
What? Hey, thank you for having us. Today is May 25th. Star Wars was released today in 1977.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
Relevant trivia. What a great idea.
I don't know. I'm not a religious man, but I feel the way super religious folk do about Star Wars.
Oh, well, and it has become a religion. My God, just any Han shot first discussion on the internet is a frothing religious debate. Yeah, absolutely. There is definitely a faith. There are Jedi among us. And we have two of them on the show right now. And I'm going to take advantage of our 20 minutes as the clock starts ticking. Gents, we recently had Brian Lincoln on the show, which was a rare treat. And he also, as you well know, is all about the full cast and really broadening the scope of audio fiction beyond just the narrated story, which is awesome in and of itself. But when you add multiple voices and sound and music, it deepens the experience that much more. And I wanted to ask you guys, for our listeners out there who are writing fiction and are thinking they might actually want to write fiction towards a full cast type of story, or even a full-on audio drama, with so many episodes behind you, what are the differences? What are the challenges that are confronting writers who want to exploit this richer, deeper audio experience?
Well, first of all, until recently, I don't think anybody knew what full cast was.
True.
This year, 2012, there is a category in the Parsec Awards for full cast. And previously, people just assumed it was all audio drama. But what full cast is the text of a short story is all read aloud, but you have a narrator that reads all the direction, and then you have a different actor or everybody's an actor, right?
Sure.
You have an actor read all of the characters, or an actor for each of the characters. That's what full cast is, where you've got a different person voicing each character and the narrator. And I guess audio drama would be all of that except no narrator. It's
right.
All just performed like a play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this idea of full cast, I don't know that it existed very long ago. It's just now you can go into a bookstore, if you couldn't find a bookstore, and there are full cast audiobooks where they've just gotten a ton of people to act out all the parts. And sometimes it's a lifesaver when you're listening to something like George R. R. Martin, where there's 50 yeah. different characters and that. But if they all have different voices, it's easy to keep track of who's talking. And that's really kind of cool. Sometimes if it's just a narrator, how many times have you listened to an audiobook where you don't know if it's even a man or a woman that's supposed exactly. to be talking because yeah. they don't alternate their voice. They don't do anything to their voice. Full cast kind of does away with that because clearly it's a woman. She's being performed by a woman.
Right. Is there a distinction, do you think, in the writing from a writer's standpoint of preparing a short story? You know, I want my short story to be a full cast production, or I want it to be an audio drama production. What are the writing challenges for crafting a story along those lines?
Well, I think there's a few things. I mean, we've done a couple stories on our show where there is, I mean, it's a full cast. We do everything full cast, but there is only one character. You know, there are short stories that you'll read where it's all done with narration.
Right.
There's nobody saying any dialogue. And obviously that's something that you need if you want to have a story that's done as a full cast production. You need to have a cast involved in it.
Key component, yes.
That's an important part. And the difference between a full cast and an audio drama, that's going to be a stark difference. If you want your thing to be an audio drama, then, yeah, it's going to be written in a completely different format.
Like a screenplay.
Right, like a screenplay or like a radio. I mean, I don't know how even one of these things looks. I've seen Julie Hoverson, who does 19 Nocturne Boulevard, which is a audio drama podcast, has sent us over some of her scripts to do some voices on a few times. And yeah, her stuff looks different. Yeah, I mean, there's different ways that you write different kinds of things, like television. You know, when you're writing a TV show or a TV commercial, they'll have things where, you know, one side of the page is for the dialogue. Another side of the page is where the sound effects are put in and direction is mentioned and stuff like that. So sometimes maybe you know, if you want to go that far, you'll have to figure out how it's even done. You know,
so just literally every nuance needs to be addressed by the writer at that point.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if you want to be a screenwriter, you got to figure out how to write in screenplay format so that somebody can sit down and know what is supposed to happen.
Sure.
Speaking of that, we did have a story that someone sent us that we performed as a full cast story, and it got picked up by 19 Nocturne Boulevard as an audio drama. And to listen to those two productions, it's the same story being told, but it's night and day how it is told. The characters had to convey everything that was happening and the setting and the time and who just got killed through their dialogue because there wasn't a narrator to tell you what has just happened. And so she had to come up with clever ways of getting that information across when she adapted that short story into audio drama. So you can't just write something and say, well, we'll decide later whether it'll be just an audio book or an audio drama. Sure. You have to decide because the structure is so different that, yeah, ultimately you sometimes have to create a new character, like a Greek chorus type character that's telling people what's happening. Like maybe there's an operator that's or somebody watching the whole event or you know, somebody retelling the whole story because they were the witness, because there's no other way to talk about an accident where there were no survivors.
Sure. Well, and you guys are both writers. You guys are both vigorous writers. Have you either of you ever attempted an audio drama script before?
I have, yes. And it's hard because I'm so used to writing short stories. And I wrote one just recently for our show, and we haven't produced it because it was just so, I couldn't do it. For those of you who write these audio dramas, I commend you because I kept being tempted to have a character tell another character, as you know,
Bob,
this is happening, or we just came from so-and-so place, or, you know, this is what we're looking at.
Sure.
And it's clunky to have a character say, I'm looking at this. Oh yeah, so am I. I'm looking at this. But you have to do that so that people can create something, an image in their minds. And so often I just have the narrator say there's a man and a woman and they're walking down the street. To do that in an audio drama, you need dialogue of conveying that they're a man and a woman. How old are the man and the woman? What is their relationship? Without saying, gee, Mary, it was 40 years ago today we got married and it's been right. A living hell ever since. You know, it just yeah.
The exposition.
The dialogue bears the full burden of all of the nuances that the general fiction writer takes for granted.
Right.
Exactly. And there may be audio drama people who say, I couldn't for the life of me write a short story because why would I want to describe the paint and the wallpaper and the side of the car and the sky? And why would I want to do all that stuff?
Now, Big, you went to film school. Is that right?
Yeah, we both did. That's where we met each other in the first place was in film classes.
Okay, so is this kind of a natural shift for you guys then, going from one script format almost to another? In a sense, doing audio drama?
You could say that, yeah. That's the reason we went with the full cast style. Is because probably that, you know, we started doing a story and, you know, the car turned off the road and it crashed, you know, and it just seemed so weird that you don't hear anything there.
Right.
So we're just like, maybe I'll put a sound effect in there. And
there you go.
After a while, we started putting more and more in and it just kind of, you know, our first few stories had very little in sound effects, and after a while we had so many sound effects that we're just like, we probably put in too many with that one. Next time around we're going to do a little less.
We've even found ourselves tempted to cut out the part where the narrator, where the text says the gun went off, because you mm-hmm. can just have bang and people know that the gun went off.
Exactly.
And that has been kind of a process in discovering so many times when you're writing text, you have to say, Mark said, Dennis asked, to keep it straight for somebody who's reading. But when you're hearing it, Mark spoke. So you don't have to say Mark spoke.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just something that we've discovered that it becomes repetitive in full cast.
Yeah. You can drop a lot of those kind of tags for dialogue like that when you have different actors that are obviously... They obviously sound, have different voices, so you know who's who. And there's no need when it's a conversation that's going really quick, one line after the other, you don't need to keep having the narrator say, he said.
She said.
And it even sounds weird, too, when a guy jumps in and just goes, he said.
She said. Yeah.
So the writers are okay then with you altering the body of their text in that way?
Yeah, we've never had a complaint. We never alter it, you know, to a point that it would make a difference.
Sure. Sure.
Well, if they say he said it angrily or something like that, you know, those ones will leave in.
Okay.
And yeah. You know, that's not necessarily true because even if somebody has shared their work with 20 people, a typo or three will still get through and we'll buy a story and there'll be parts that don't really make sense. And because it's our show, well, we interpret them the way that we want. And I've been known to cut out sentences or alter the dialogue and stuff just because it doesn't sound. And that's the difference, too. You read something with your eyes and it's fine, but you hear it with your ear and nobody talks that way. Or, oh, you know, that's mm-hmm. way too long a sentence or, you know, something like that is something that you need to keep in mind if you're a writer and you want it performed later, is how does it sound spoken aloud?
Yeah, that's something that me and Rish always recommend to writers. And even if you're never planning on having it spoken aloud, all the same, you should still take your story and read it out loud. You're going to find tons of problems right. that you would have missed if you just read it with your eyes, because you can't say a sentence that's screwed up. You know, you can't spit it out. You can look at it and fix it in your head as you're reading without having a problem and realize what's going on. But when you try and say it out loud, you're just like, what the, okay, wait, what?
That's and great advice.
You'll get stuck. Yeah. So always, if you're writing something, one of your editing passes should be reading it out loud with, you know, the paper in your hand and marking the spots that need to be fixed from that. It'll make a, you'll find tons of problems that way.
Yeah. You know, as a teacher, even to take that a step further, I try to have my students read it to each other so that they can hear where the other person is tripping up.
Yeah, that's a good
one. You know what I mean?
We'll be back with more of our conversation with Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield after this promotional break.
My name is Justin McCumber. I'm the creator and one of the co-hosts for the Dead Robots Society podcast. Every week, we discuss a variety of topics that are fundamental to the craft of writing, from the differences between tone and theme, to world building, to how to create compelling antagonists. Along with the roundtable discussions, we've also had the pleasure of interviewing published authors, television writers, podcast luminaries, publishing house founders, and magazine editors. We're dedicated to our listeners, and we work hard to pack our episodes with as much quality education and entertainment as possible. We never stop encouraging ourselves and our listeners to always be writing and to always be improving. The promised land of publication is our goal, and we know that together we can achieve it. If we can also have a good laugh along the way, all the better. You can find us online at www.deadrobotssociety.com. At our website, you'll find show notes, links to our personal sites, our email address, and direct download links to our episodes. You'll also find a link to our forums, where we've created a private critique group so that you can safely post your work and get comments and suggestions from us as well as our listeners. All we ask is that you participate by critiquing in return. So come to our site, subscribe to our show, and join us. You can also find us at iTunes. Just search for Dead Robots and we'll be there. After that, get writing. We are.
Now let's get back to the conversation with Rish Outfield and Big Anklevich.
Have you seen a shift in submissions to a more friendly or podcast-friendly focus as people begin to streamline their writing for a specific market? Since this is such a new outcome or a new thing, are people starting to adapt to it and change the way that they're writing?
It's hard to say for sure. We've had people send us stories that we feel are tailor-made for our show, and we don't know if they really are, but they play up our strengths, or it's very audio-centric, like a chorus of characters that speak at the same time, or a character who's described as having a high-pitched, funny voice, or, you know, a voice like gravel kind of thing. And I wonder, would they have put all those directions of how to perform it if it were just being sent to analog or FNSFF or you know, one of those Asimovs, would they, and maybe they would have, but I don't think so. When you get a story that specifically talks about, he said in a bad Cockney accent, you'll go, oh, okay. Well, we know how to perform that. Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah.
Excellent. And along those same lines, just out of curiosity, How many submissions do you guys receive to the Dune Steve?
We get a fair amount. We actually have a submissions editor. Sudden Death Nicole takes care of the submissions for us. So at this point in time, I probably couldn't tell you. We've actually had our submissions closed for a little while to try and catch up with everything that we've accepted. Because it takes a while to get each one of those produced. And we had a large load of them that we kind of needed to catch up on. So we've left it that way. And yeah, she has several, a lot of volunteers, like to the point where she's like, I don't know what to do with all these. And I had to, why don't you divide them up into groups and you can give, you know, only some stories to some and some to the other, or, you know, she had enough volunteers that, you know, they read through all those stories before we get them. And we would usually get ones that passed all that, you know, they'd all give them, you know, 1 to 10 grades, all the different readers. And then the ones that averaged up at a, you know, above a seven or so is all that me and Rish actually see.
So what are the qualities of those stories that as you guys look, I assume you guys have like right of last refusal, like, no, we're not going to do this, or yes, we will.
That's right.
What are the qualities of those stories that just hit you and say, yes, we have to do this beyond there being a cast?
That's all it is. As long as there's a cast, we take it.
No, you know what? It's the opposite of that. Because there have been stories that got to Sudden Death Nicole, that got to our submissions editor, and she passed on them because they didn't have several parts. They didn't have a part for both me and Big. And then we told her, hey, stop doing that. It's okay if it's just one person talking. We don't have to be in every episode. Because it used to be if we got a story and it's a female first-person story, we're like, how are we going to do this? I can't do a convincing female voice, and you can't either. Maybe we'll ask your wife to read it. You know, but nowadays we have so many people who are willing to do it and do it well.
Sure.
That, I don't know. The thing that I look for in one of these stories is that it moves me in some way, whether it makes me laugh or it makes me afraid or it makes me cry. I guess I need to be moved. And it used to be we wanted stories that were fun, but then we get stories about people with terminal cancer or people at the end of the world or people who had split personalities and it turns out that they had murdered their family and things like that. And those aren't fun, but they're still a visceral emotional experience. And it's like, oh, okay. Right. How do you feel, Big, about these? Why do you accept a story?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing. I have a hard time quantifying it a lot of times. I'll have to reject a story. I'll send it back to Nicole and I'll say, you know, this one just didn't grab me. It just didn't, you know, there's just that, there has to be something where it just reaches out and it gets your attention. It keeps you interested and you want to read it. You're looking at it and you're like, wow, I can't wait to find out how this ends. And if it ends crappily, then you're let down. You're like, oh, dang, fail. I was sure I was going to take this one, and then it just fell apart at the end, or whatever. But you know, the story that tells a good story and it has something about it that interests you, where you're like, ooh, that sounds interesting. You know, it's kind of like. Can I refer to the? I guess the other thing that we already recorded is actually going to come out. After yeah, this
that's
show.
Okay. We'll deal with the temporal distortions later. Go ahead and you can reference that.
It's kind of like when we talked with Renee, which is coming out in a couple of days, and you'll hear about it. you know, the idea that she talked about. It's one of those things where like, ooh, okay, that's interesting. And then we started throwing out ideas, and pretty soon we're all interested. We're like, hey, I like this idea. This is something that's got me excited. That's the kind of thing that we really look for. Something that you're going to hear it and you're going to be like, that really got me excited. That's something I want to, you know, I want to see done as a show.
So basically what you're saying is that writers come to the Roundtable podcast before you submit to the Dune Steve, and we will crank up and amp up your story to the level of excitement that Big and Rish will not be able to say no to. Is that what you're saying?
That was exactly what I was saying. It's nice you could distill my thoughts for me.
Dave, the format of our show is kind of, maybe it's not unique, but what makes it unique is that we run the story and then we talk about the story. And there have been lots of times where we've accepted a story because we wanted to talk about it afterward. Prompted a conversation about, okay, if you were told that you are going to die in 12 hours, what would you do? And I wanted to ask Big, what would you do? And things like that too. And see, that has really nothing to do with the story so much as with us. And every once in a while, I will read a story and it doesn't work. And because I'm a writer, I'll ask the writer to rewrite it because I can see that it's almost there. And sometimes they won't. Sometimes we never hear from them again. But other times they'll jump on it and there was one poor bastard. I think he did like four drafts and he finally sent it to us and we accepted it. And the story was well received. And I don't know if it would have been well received without all those rewrites. Maybe the seed of the story was good enough from the beginning. But because we're writers, we come to it with that angle of, ooh, if I could just grab this and work on it myself, it would be ready to go. And I don't know, maybe all editors do that. Maybe that's why editors are invaluable.
Our editors,
I need to get one. But we we can see some stories 100 drafts will not save. And other stories, they're almost there. And, you know, there have been a couple of stories that, hey, they're close enough. Let's just run it. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that. But because we're writers, because we're sensitive artists, we know what it's like to have somebody say, no.
Yeah. Ouch. But, you know, that's the way it is. And I want to go back to what you were saying and just highlight it. I hadn't considered this before, but when you said that you wanted to speak to Big about it, to ask him the question that was raised in the story, you know, not all stories can do that or are suited to doing that, but to set as a criteria for, am I writing a good story? You know, do you raise a question that people want to ask someone else? Is it a question that compels you to actually think and wonder, you know, what would I do in this situation? That's an excellent criteria for self-editing, as you say.
There was an episode that a lot of people hated, but there was a magical telephone and you could speak into the phone and speak to anybody that you wanted to. Let's say I wanted to speak with Adolf Hitler. It would ring and Hitler would answer the phone. And the writer, geez, how many phone calls were in that story? Like 10 or 12 or whatever. I mean, he tried to cover every possible, like a girl says, I want to talk to the cutest boy in the world. And he answers and he only speaks French. It's like, oh, shit. And then afterward, Big and I talked about it. And it's like, who would you call? And Big said, I would call Satan. No.
I would call Satan and I would debate. I would barter until I got my soul back again.
Well, we just had all these things where I was like, if I could call anybody, as selfish as this is, I would call myself when I was like 11 years old and say, do this, do this, don't do this. And that, and Big had a loved one who died and he wanted to talk to her. And it was just like, wow, I think the post story conversation was as good as the story, because it was just like, and then people would comment on the forum about, you know, oh, I wish I could talk to my grandmother one last time, or, oh, you know, I had a twin sister, or, you know, it's like, oh, I want to talk to my own kids from the future. And that, that was a special, really special episode for me, partly because of that, because of the conversation that it started.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Guys, I'm looking at the clock and I'm seeing that the 20 minutes has come and gone. And as usual, the motto of leave them wanting more seems to apply to the guest hosts and ourselves as well, because we could do this all night long.
We have.
But but let's wrap this up for our audience so they can get on with their lives and go write and do some great stuff. We have been talking to Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield of the Dune Steve podcast. Gentlemen, thank you so much for not only taking the time, but sharing so generously of your insights and your experiences. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been a great time for us too. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Brian, anything else before we wrap up, man?
Guys, I'm a huge fan, and I know Dave is too, of Dune Steve, and we're both really grateful that you came on. So this has been really awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, friends, and thank you for tuning in. We are extremely grateful, and we hope you had as good a time as we did. If you are having a good time, consider going out to iTunes and dropping a review up there. That always helps. If you have additional comments you want to offer, you can go out to the website, www.roundtablepodcast.com, and drop a line on the comments section. Drop us an email, thetable@roundtablepodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, ideas are cheap. Write those bad boys down. Bring them onto the round table. We'll help you turn them into gold. Brian, what's the advice again?
Go right.
Go right. Absolutely.
Not
Thanks
left.
For tuning in. Say what?
Not left.
Not left. Go right. Yeah, we're not going to get into that political spin on that one. Don't go there, boys. So, take care, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is copyrighted 2012 by the Roundtable Podcast and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. That means don't sell it, but you can share it all you like. And you can even use pieces of it in your own derivative work, as long as you attribute us as the source and release the work under the same licensing terms. Theme music composed and performed by the talented Hepcats of Brotown, Gary Gold, David LaBruyere, Billy Nobel, and Matt O'Donnell. If you'd like to be a guest writer or guest host, or learn more about the Roundtable Podcast, please visit our website at www.roundtablepodcast.com or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/roundtablepodcast. Our Twitter tag is at writerspodcast, or just send us an email at thetable@roundtablepodcast.com. Thanks for listening.